Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment where I tell you a little bit about what you can expect from today's episode, an update from the market, and of course, something new happening in my personal life. So what do we got going on? Well, before I get into this episode, because it is crazy, I got to tell you this. The Talk Money to Me book tour has begun. I'll tell you that for my personal update, but here's a contest that I'm giving away. Me and a few of my friends, and let me tell you, they are familiar faces. We are flying to you. Me and about three of us are coming to you, and we are going to take you and three guests out to dinner and drinks. It is going to be an unbelievable restaurant. The bill is on me. Here's how to enter. Buy a book of Talk Money to Me. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Target. The receipt date has to be March 17th or later. Every book you buy is one entry. Submit that receipt to tradingsecrets@jasontardik.com in the subject line. Put business and booze dinner entry and you will be entered to win. I will be raffling off the winner of that in April, and me and some friends will be flying to you for a business and booze dinner. Can't wait for that. So, also, please remember to subscribe to Trading Secrets. That helps us a lot. Hit the follow button. Make sure that you give us 5 stars. And when we have our ads come up throughout the episode, please know we will have in the show notes those link and on our Instagram page. So if you want to take advantage of those discounts, write the codes down here, or you can refer to our Instagram or show notes. But without further ado, let's get into this episode. We have two of the Trader's Finest. We have Trishel on, who won, and Pilot Pete, of course, from Bachelor Nation, who absolutely, in my opinion, was the one of the MVPs and traders this season. Trishel's background all in the challenge and MTB, and you'll hear more about that. But if you haven't seen Traders, you were one of the 8 million humans that didn't see the finale. If you haven't seen Traders, you were one of the people that didn't participate in this season, which grew 75%. So I want to tell you a little bit about the show, just so you're up to speed with it. So it's an American reality TV show, and it's based on this Dutch series. The host is Scottish actor Alan Cumming. He's huge. The first season was released on Peacock in 2023, and the series was renewed for the second season, and this is the second season. Now, here's the format. A group of contestants arrive at a castle in the Scottish Highlands with the hopes of winning a large cash prize that is built up through missions. In season one, there were 20 contestants, while in season two, there were 22 contestants. The players are referred to as the faithful, but among them are the traitors, a group of contestants selected by the host whose goal is to eliminate the faithfuls and claim the prize for themselves, right? So the traitors are trying to get the faithfuls out and then claim the prize themselves. Should the faithful contestants eliminate all the traitors, they will share the prize fund. But if any traitors make it to the end, they steal the money. Now, most nights, the traders come together and decide upon one faithful contestant to murder, and that person leaves the game immediately. The remaining faithful contestants do not know who has been eliminated until the following day, when that person does not enter the castle for breakfast. The first murder takes place before the first banishment. After that, the murders usually take place after the banishments. The group then takes part in a mission to add money to the prize fund. Some challenges also offer an opportunity for the players to visit the armory, where one player is secretly awarded the shield, which gives that player immunity from being murdered, but not from the banishment. An attempted murder on the shield holder will result in no player being eliminated. At the end of each day, the players participate in this round table where they discuss who to vote out before individually voting for a player to be banished. Players cast their votes privately, then reveal their votes in turn to everyone. They may give a brief to rationalize their vote. The person who received the most votes is eliminated and then will reveal if they are a traitor or if they are part of the faithful. When a traitor is eliminated, the remaining traitors are given the opportunity to recruit another player. Once the game has reached the final four, the remaining players participate in the final challenge. The players are given a choice to banish again or end the game. A unanimous end game vote concludes the game, while a single vote to banish again results in another banishment vote, followed by another choice between banish again or end game, which the game ends if all remaining players are faithful. Then the prize money is divided evenly among them. However, if any traitor remains, they win the entire pot. So that's a little breakdown of how the show works. Now you'll hear specifically what happens with Pete, some of the game theory, but you'll see what happens. Like, there was a time that Peter was a faithful. Many people thought he was a traitor. The traitors tried to recruit him to become a traitor. He said no, and you'll hear a lot of the game strategy here. This is a side of Peter and Trishelle I can promise you haven't seen, and yes, we will talk dollars and cents. Now, a little update from the market. I always got to give you a little tip and trick from Talk Money to Me. So a couple stats to throw out you: that 73% of married or cohabitating Americans say money creates material tension in the relationship. Of those, half of them, more than half of them, actually say that money issue creates intimacy issue. It's wild to see how money connects to our intimacy and our success in relationships. And there are just so many things in this book that can connect to an area you need to improve, whether you are single or you're in a relationship. One thing that you should know about is I wrote the book when I was a banker, right? I had certain metrics that individuals had to adhere to if they wanted to get the best rating and the lowest interest rate. Those metrics are what the system deems you to be a responsible, low-risk lender. A lot of the things I talk in the book are about the ratios and things I had to underwrite in so that you can know what the banks are looking at when they're trying to approve you at the lowest rate. So, Talk Money to Me is a book that is there to help individuals increase their personal financial well-being while in a relationship, learning how to talk about these things. Love is not a poker game, nor should our money be a poker game with the people that we love. And I always say for fun, if we're starting to think about having sex, we need to start talking about our checks. So more to come on that. Go grab a copy of Talk Money to Me. And personally, it's going to be an absolutely crazy week. We got Seattle, first stop. LA, oh my God, we got Mario Lopez. We got Scrubbing In podcast. We got Girls Gotta Eat podcast. We got the Jennifer Hudson show. We have Colton Underwood coming on the show. LA is going to be nuts. Going to Denver, have some great surprises in Denver for our second podcast stop. And this week is just going to be electric. But enough of this, enough of me. Let's get into some gameplay with one of the best shows on TV, Traders. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by two stars of Peacock's hit reality TV show, The Traders, Peter Weber and Trishelle Canatella. By the way, guys, this is a mid-intro interruption to tell you we are wearing glasses for many reasons. Right. One, it's a Traders theme, so we're trying to hide behind the shades. Two, I have two massive styes. Three,
I wanted to support
Peter's
you.
Just being a good bro. And Trishelle, you just got roped into it.
That's right.
All right. Many of you know Peter from his time on Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette, followed by his lead role as The Bachelor the same year. Since his time on the show, Peter's continued his career as a commercial airline pilot for United Airlines and even added the title of author to his resume after writing a children's book titled The Adventures of Pilot Pete. Trishelle made her name appearing as a main cast member on The Real World Las Vegas back in 2002, followed by five different seasons of MTV's The Challenge and various other stints in reality TV world. In addition to her time on reality TV, Trishelle has also added the titles of model, real estate investor, and professional poker player to her career. More recently, and extremely importantly, Peter and Trishelle have been hot topics around their strong performances on the hit reality show, The Traders. Each of them, along with other reality TV personalities, were challenged to work as a group in a clue-themed competition to identify any traders within the group and vote them out in order to win the grand prize of $250,000. So today we're going to discuss all the ins and outs of the show, feedback on their overall experiences as contestants, and so much more. Peter and Trishelle, the double duo, the triple threat with me being here in these sunglasses. Thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Thank you. That was quite an introduction.
I mean, there's a lot to cover in that intro.
Yeah.
There is.
How are you two doing?
We're good. We don't hate each other, so that's nice.
No,
that's good.
Honestly, yeah, this is one of the best friendships I had that came out of the show. So I love Trishelle. Super stoked to be able to play with her. And yeah.
I love it. Good. Well, we just watched Reunion and we did see that maybe everyone is not still friends. So we're going to get into Traitors. We're also going to get into the fact that 8 million people watched the season 2 finale after streaming and catch up viewing was accounted for. And you know what else about this season? This is the biggest debut for any original reality TV series on streamer because it grew by 75% over its first season. So this was a huge season. So we're going to get into that. That's a little tease for my people. But before we do, let's get into some trading secrets before the show. So Peter, you were last on reality TV as The Bachelor 2019, Trishelle 2021. So we had 4 years and 5 years there. The big question I have for you is, did you expect to be on reality TV? And how did they find you? Let's start with you, Trishelle.
I sort of found them. I was 21 years old and I was in college in Mississippi and I heard this advertisement on the radio, guys. Sorry, I'm going to say
radio,
a lot of things,
but you guys FM like, or AM.
I drove from Mississippi to New Orleans for an open casting call for a show that was going to be sort of like Road Rules, but it was called Lost in the USA. And I passed up the line full of people because I was like, I'm not waiting in line. Like, I don't do these things. And so I was just like, I'm here for the casting. And I actually was cast for that show, but the show got canceled. And then they asked me to do The Real World. So
you were in Real World 2002. And then you were all the way up to like, you did The Challenge in 2012, The Rivals in 2013. So from 2002 to 2013, you were on TV a lot.
Yeah.
We've seen how reality TV has changed as far as monetization, especially with social media. And that period from 2002 to 2013, when you were on often, could you make a good amount of money from being on these shows? Or was it just like a little side part-time fun thing?
It's so different because I missed the entire social media aspect of it, right? Like literally in 2002, we had message boards, MTV.com message boards. They were like, go for an hour on the message boards. And I had to be like, oh, when people were like, we hate you, Trishelle, I'd be like, thank you for watching, you know, whatever.
Love you.
Like 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Like old old
like
chat
message
rooms.
Boards.
That's
like,
before chat rooms. That's yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So we didn't have like all the things. So we weren't getting paid in that aspect. However, we were getting paid by doing appearances, bar appearances. So basically, like you were drunk for 5 days a week.
And what would you get paid for like, an appearance?
Whenever we started out, it was like $35,000 to $5,000 like a night, and then it dropped significantly because everybody started doing it, and people were like negotiating prices and going lower.
Got it.
Hate those people. And so then it dropped to like 1500, then it was like 1000, and then you'd always find somebody to do it for 250. So I just quit doing it.
And then we'll fast forward to 2024 here in a second, but those shows, when you were on them, did they pay well?
No. Oh my God. The Real World, we filmed in Vegas for 5.5 months, which is amazing.
Yeah.
However, it's taxing. It's a lot. I was known and all this other stuff and recognized. We got paid $3,800 after taxes.
For the whole 5.5 months?
Mm-hmm.
What?
That's it.
Oh my God, how times have changed.
It's so bad.
All right, well, we see Bethany Frankel complaining about reality TV now. I think everyone's doing pretty well now compared to back then.
She doesn't even know.
She should have been around 20 years ago. The last thing I got for you before we get into kind of current state is you went from 2013 to 2021, no reality TV. Mm-hmm. But when in 2021, it was the Challenge All-Stars. After 2021, did you think you would be on another reality TV show or did you think your reality TV career was done?
Well, they always ask me to do the Challenge.
Okay.
They're like, you know, Trishelle's going to pop off on someone like at some point.
Great TV.
Yeah. You didn't really get to see that much about me on the Traitors. Like I kind of kept my cool. And I think it's because like there was basically no alcohol there. I have a few drinks. I will definitely pop off.
Okay.
So they would always ask me, but I was like, I don't need to do another challenge. I'm not trying to kill myself because the challenges are really tough. You're falling 50 feet into the water.
Sure.
They don't give you wetsuits. It's not as nice as it was on the Traitors.
It's a Caribous, yeah, Traitors.
But then when they asked me about the Traitors, I was like, okay, like this seems nice. I get to be off camera to sleep. I don't have to share a room with people. Like already, like you sold me. So I decided to do that.
You just gave me a challenge. You said you pop off if you drink. I'm going to have to get some drinks flowing in here in the next 45 minutes. Evan, let's get some drinks
we'll
going. Pete, I'm coming to you in just 1 second. Traitors, who came to you? Well, like, tell us the business behind it. Was it an agent? Did you apply for it? Was it casting? Like, how did Traitors end up at your doorstep?
So I had a friend that worked at Peacock that's known me for probably 20 years. And casting had mentioned my name. and because they wanted a couple people from the challenge.
Sure.
And so they got my email address and casting just emailed me directly and asked for an interview. And when they emailed me, I was just like, okay, like maybe this will happen. I did my interview and I was very much like, I need to be a trader.
Yeah.
I told them like, this is all I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I had watched Cerie's season and I was like, I can do that. Now looking back on it, no way. But yeah, that's how they contacted me.
Got it. Okay. In between 2021 and traders, which has been your number one income source when you look at acting, real estate, poker, influencing stuff? What's been your number one income source?
Real estate, actually.
Okay. I love that.
Real estate, and we have like a bunch of short-term rentals, and yeah.
Okay.
We started kind of doing that during COVID. We actually picked up some properties. So
I love it. Good stuff. Good time to buy. All right, yeah. Peter, let's go to you. It's been since 2019. You're on reality TV. We get to see that beautiful face back in action in a whole different capacity that we absolutely loved. But between 2019 and 2024, you've been on the show a few times. You've talked about it. What has been your number one income source? Is it monetizing through influencing, appearances, the podcast, the book, or just the old United Airlines pilot?
United Airlines takes very, very good care of me. So it's, yeah, I would still say flying for United. Still okay. Number one.
Okay. Same question goes for you. How did you end up back on reality TV? Was it through agency? Did they contact you direct? What's the story?
I got a last minute call. It was so unexpected. I really never thought, to be honest, that I'd ever do anything else with reality TV.
Yeah.
And it was about a week before we were supposed to be in Scotland to start filming the show. And it was just from a producer that reached out, asked if I had any interest. I had seen from Ari's season, he'd done the first season for Traders. So I had seen a little bit of it. I remember when he was promoting it. So I knew about the show. And then immediately I was just like, yes.
Okay.
I've kind of always been a yes man. So I'm like, yes, if I can get the time off from work, if I can move my schedule around, I'm there. And then the next day I was able to call her back and be like, yeah, I got the time off. Let's do it.
All right. I love that. So then let me ask you this. You both said yes. It had been 4 or 5 years. Got to ask about negotiating pay. Like, we know what your winnings were. That's very public. But how did that work? Can you talk at all about like what you were paid, or is it a day rate? Did you negotiate it? Is everyone paid the same? What can you give me?
Well, I know that not everybody was paid the same, because Sandra, I think the first day I didn't even really introduce myself. She's asking people what they got paid instead of what she got paid.
I love
she
that.
Did that to you too. She was so
no
hysterical.
Way. She was telling everyone. What
I
she
will
got
say,
paid.
Sandra got paid double what I got paid.
Stop.
But you know what? She's won Survivor twice. She deserves
That's
it.
That's true. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so everyone got paid differently. Base.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you get? Are you allowed to say how much you got paid? Or
I'm not going
to
say how much I got paid. For anybody who's watching who might ask me for another show.
Yeah, okay. I like that. And I don't want to be in trouble with Traders, because I am petitioning. I've never been more thirsty than going on a show.
We've got to get you.
Get me on that show.
You would absolutely.
Not only get me on that show, but I would be fun if you put someone from the Bachelor franchise that I did or didn't get along with. If you need a lead, fine. Throw a lead in there. Let's mix it up.
That
would be fun.
Possibly an ex?
A little pop. Throw it in there. I would do it.
I would love that. Oh my God.
Could you imagine? We'd either like join forces. We would join forces and absolutely dominate. Or we would absolutely go after each other.
Either way, though.
Either way, it would be good TV. I don't know. Let me ask you this, though. Can you give me this type of hint? Your prize pool, okay? You won the big, you came in first. Like, what you got paid to be on the show, is it even compared to that? Or like,
it's
give
comparable.
Me warm. Okay, it's warm.
It's comparable.
Okay.
But
you gave us enough without getting in trouble.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, chicken dinner. Now, for the big prize pool, and we're going to get into some of your strategy, when you got paid that amount, how do taxes work on that? People are asking this. Like, do they take it off immediately? Is it 1099? You're responsible? Because your pay was what, like
125? 104. Yeah, let's see. I think that my God.
It was international, so it was different. I think they do take taxes out.
They're taking, I think, 20, and then we have to do something on our end, but like, I don't know, it's my husband's tax guy.
Okay.
And then I was just kind of, we have like a bunch of LLCs. I have no clue. My husband's the guy that does all that stuff. Like,
got
he does the finances. We have all this other things going on. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So then let's get into, like, we're going to call this section the trader secrets. Okay.
A
couple rapid fires to start out with. I want to hear from both of you. Before we get into the rapid fires, simple question. It's a lab. How many days did you guys film?
Ooh, days? I mean, I can go by weeks. I think it was almost 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
The end.
So obviously you started start to finish, and then you were probably gone, what, 3 weeks in or so?
Yeah, I think I left about a week before you.
Okay.
3 weeks, yeah.
And then this is my natural curiosity, it doesn't tie to business, but you had said there's not much drinking. Did you have, like in The Bachelor, you can only have a certain amount of drinks per hour and stuff. Were you allowed to have any drinks at all?
So what, Peter? It was like one glass of wine
We would. It was
every
really
3 days or something. Whenever we
for the show, I think it's just a different kind of dynamic than like okay. Crasher. That's not really the kind of vibe that they're going for. Having people kind of pretty tipsy. It's a very analytical game, right? Mm-hmm. Very mental game.
Yeah, but it would be funny if people like on edge, like drinking, like or using alcohol as a means to like get someone drunk and get some information.
That happened. That happened with Parvati and Ekansu. So there was, I guess, I take that back.
There was
a little bit of that. But really, we wouldn't really drink. They'd give us like one glass of wine. They'd take our drink orders after the round table ceremony.
Okay.
We'd do some reality. And then, you know, at that point when the night's starting to kind of like wind down, that was like the one time where we could really kind of just drink and enjoy each other's company and hang out.
Okay.
But I liked it because this is the first reality show that I've done where it's been like, to me, one drink is dry.
You're like, we were like, sober as shit. Only reality TV.
We're sober,
sober,
okay? Like one glass of wine, we're sober.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I liked it because I was so on point and clear-headed. And when I got back, I was just like, I can take over the world. Like, I've basically been in rehab for 4 weeks. I mean,
skin's fresh. Yeah. You're just glowing. No alcohol. I love it. Hey, wow, yes, we came through. Hey, Evan, we were just putting you to the challenge. Evan came through for everybody watching. Go check us out on YouTube. But
whoa,
we have drinks
that?
Here.
Whoa,
and you know what that means? Right before we get into Trader Secrets, wow, holy smokes.
Trishelle
is about to pop off. We have White Claws here. These are not the 0% non-alcoholic premium seltzers that we endorse. These are the legit stuff. So you said you're going to pop off.
I have never seen this kind of White Claw.
I've never seen this before.
I haven't seen Trishelle pop off. So.
You said you're going to pop off. You just talked about your cleanse. Do you want me to
here,
do that for you?
I got
you.
Here,
you cannot break those beautiful
nails. Oh, yeah,
nails.
I want the strawberry. Can I have this?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Okay, while he's doing that, I'm going to get into Trader Secrets.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Salud.
White Claw, salud. Sponsor me.
Thank you, Evan.
We have a White Claw connect, so we'll talk. Okay, So let's get into this. This is going to be rapid fire for each of you guys, okay? I'm going to go to you first, Pilot Pete.
All right.
And I don't want you to think about it. I want you to just give
person
me your
comes
answer.
To mind.
It's a person from the show. Oh. We'll start with number one. Other than you, show's MVP. And you cannot say Trishelle.
That was going to be.
Yeah, because she's right here, sucking up. Even though it's probably true.
Listen, CT.
Okay, fair. Toughest player.
CT.
Smartest business person in the entire group.
Phaedra.
Okay, master manipulator.
Parvati.
Most improved player.
Myself.
Okay. Oh, I love that. Okay, let's go into Trader Secrets with you, Trishelle.
Okay.
You got a little, you know, we're talking analytics here. You got a little teaser there. You know what's coming. Show's MVP.
It's Peter.
Oh, it couldn't
oh,
be
I
Peter.
Can't see,
can't
I Peter. Can't see Peter.
Appreciate that.
Okay, MVP for a different reason. I'll say Phaedra.
Okay, worst player.
MJ.
Tough. Oh, she's throwing darts early. One sip of White Claw and she's popping off.
She's popping
off. All right.
Toughest player.
CT.
Smartest player.
Oh, smartest player. I would say John.
Okay. Smartest business person.
Phaedra.
Yeah. I think everyone's on board with that. Master manipulator.
Master manipulator?
Yeah. You're like me.
I want to say me.
Okay.
But Parvati probably too. Yeah.
Okay. And then most improved player.
Peter. Oh, shit. Peter, sorry.
Yeah.
Most improved. I'm going to go ahead and say Kevin. Mm. He came a little bit and better towards the
end. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the top-rated finance app out there. It is Monarch Money. And so if you want to try it, give it a go right now. You'll get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/secrets. So if you are looking to manage your investments, your budget, if you are looking for visibility into all the inflows and outflows of your money, Monarch Money can help you with that. And I do talk a lot on Trading Secrets about the impact of transparency in relationships. One of the cool things is through Monarch Money, you can actually build in a budget with your significant other. So it is very, very important to think about an app like this. Monarch Money is the top rated all-in-one personal finance app, and it gives you that comprehensive view of all the accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create those custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner, and now get the extended day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/secrets. So monarchmoney.com/secrets for your extended 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com for an extended 30-day free trial. Okay, let's get into this. So you had network alliances, Trishelle. Peter, you did not. Do you think having someone from Bachelor Nation would have helped you?
Possibly, but I actually like the way that it went down. I like kind of being the lone wolf.
You did like being the lone wolf.
I enjoyed that. Just I kind of liked no one having any game film on me. Okay. I thought that kind of worked to my advantage at some
Interesting.
Point.
Interesting.
Until I kind of like felt like I was, you know, making my moves and getting my bearings straight. So yeah, no one really had any preconceived notions.
There's definitely game film on you. We could find some game film, but you know, it's different type of game.
Different game film. Yeah. I don't know how much it involves.
All right, fair enough. Now you threw the question to me already. I'd be down for it. I'd be in for it. Throw me that curveball. Throw that X right in the mix, and let's do this. All right,
I'm gonna just a dynamic. Yeah,
I'm gonna throw it to you. You're on that show, and either Hannah Ann, Maddie Pruitt, or Kelly walks in the door. How do you handle that situation in game show?
All three of them?
Oh, one of them. One of the three of them. Like, what's your, what, tell me, we see that you're a good game player.
Yeah.
We see that you're analytical.
Yeah.
One of them walks in the door. What's your instant strategy going to be?
Dude, that's
well, you thought Kelly question. Was going to be on it. You thought I can sue his Kelly.
Kelly would be a great, like, can we just, can both say that, right?
Yeah, no, Kelly would be.
Kelly would be great.
Exceptionally well at the game. Yeah. And I thought Kelly was there. I don't know if I told you.
No.
When the first day we were driving to the castle.
Yeah.
And we were all in these like Humvees, like Land Rovers, and there was four of us in each car. So you only met three people at first before everyone shows up to the castle and then you meet the rest of the cast. And so we're driving around doing some tracking shots and I'm in the front right seat of the car. Ekansu is in the front right seat of her car and we're passing each other. And from like a distance, they have a very similar look, right?
Yeah.
So I see her and my heart stops. I'm like, babe, rock. Literally drop. I'm like, oh my God. I just like kind of panicked. I'm like, I haven't seen her since, you know, everything kind of, we ended things. And then I got, you know, we got out of the car and I saw it was Ekansu and I could breathe again. But dude, I don't know.
What would just think? So Kelly comes out. What?
Yeah.
Is, and I'm, strictly emotions aside.
Yeah.
When you're thinking strategy for your game, what would the strategy be in your inside the game? You're not thinking like an X. Like, what's the game?
If it's pure strategy, and
sure gameplay, no emotions, no like you're not talking poorly. Like sure strategy. What are you doing?
I am trying to have a very, very early on a conversation with whoever it is. Just like get away from everyone. Just talk through things. Let's bury the hatchet. Bury everything. Let's be totally cool. And then possibly use that relationship and see if I can, if you could almost maybe manipulate that relationship later on in the game for the benefit of coming out on top with the rest of the cast.
Yeah. Oh,
I love this game talk.
Oh, I would do this. Like I would do, if I had, let's suppose it was Max or it was like some, like, you know, someone connected to Max, let's just say that. I would go in and establish immediately, like, are we going after each other or are we going to like use this as an advantage and tell everyone that we're not friends?
I think that's what I would do.
Be on the same page. And then down the road, spoiler, I would totally like backdoor him. Or her.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but I think honestly,
or you'd stay on the same page.
My gameplay would be to have that combo. Let's bury the hatchet. If they were cool, I say, okay, listen, we need to sell this narrative we're not cool.
That we're not cool. That's my point.
Play this to our advantage the entire game.
Be like, we hate each other. You know, and it's good TV.
You like that move.
But, yeah.
And
the let's fight move.
And talk shit. Like talk shit behind the scenes. Be like,
exactly.
Oh, if you knew what she did or whatever, like so that it's like really it's so playing into it. But you'd have to be totally aligned that that's what you're going to do.
He did that with Kevin, kind of.
Yeah, he did a little bit.
Sense of with an actual ex, and you know what? It would have been cool even at the end to, we're exes, but to win a game like that together
and like put it behind you. I agree, and then like you're friends again. All right, Trishelle, we're going to you. We know you had network alliances. What did you feel about that when you walked in there? Did you think like this is a good thing? I got this in the bag. Were you like, oh shit? How'd you feel about it?
I'm sorry, but Bananas is not the person that you want on your side. That's not the sole person that you want to trust for life. Love the guy, but he would steal money from his own grandmother.
Yeah, but he would admit that, honestly.
Yeah, wasn't it easy when I saw him? I was a little bit uneasy. But he and CT, right whenever I saw them, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to get together and they're going to vote me out. It's like the paranoia of the game started right away.
Okay.
And so it was easier whenever Johnny Bananas got murdered because then I can isolate CT. And so I just kind of used that to my advantage a little bit because had Johnny stayed in the game, it would have been rough.
Okay. I don't want to put this... If this is going to cause issues, don't answer it. Huh. But I would think in challenge shows, you really want personalities that are going to add to the show and the drama and the total ratings.
Yeah.
it feels as though Johnny going out that early hurts the show.
Yeah.
So from your standpoint, it feels as though, I don't want to talk for you guys, but is like production involved at all with like who can stay and go?
No, because like if they were, Johnny would have stayed.
Yeah, that's so my point. That's what I was thinking about.
They were not involved.
Okay. No. Because I feel like some of the other shows, like Big Brother and stuff, yeah. I do feel like that might be the case.
It was a very clean game.
You did whatever you wanted to do, any convo, however long you wanted to, it was all you.
Okay.
That's why I highly suggest people go on the show if they're asked.
Okay, I love it. Trader Secrets on Trading Secrets. We obviously talk a lot of business and planning and strategy here, but I want to hear from you guys. Like when you went in, so imagine like you build a business plan, right? You have an idea. You guys come in with a clean slate. When you walk in there, what did you do before? What was the game plan high level? Like what was your thought process going into this? What were you going to do and how are you going to do it differently? Let's start with you, Trishelle.
Okay. I sort of had a plan that I was going to be, I wanted to be a little bit more low-key than I was first banishment, but low-key.
You did not go low-key at first.
I know, I didn't plan on it, but.
Reverse.
There was actually a strategy to that too. But my strategy was to just like be low-key until the middle and then dial up a little bit and then really like start to be more vocal. But also I learned that you could use being vocal at a round table to keep yourself safe from murder, which you picked up on very early as well. And so I kind of used that to my advantage. I literally thought that Peppermint was a traitor. So I thought that if I was more vocal, then I wouldn't get murdered.
Interesting. Okay. So that was part of your strategy.
Yes.
Peter, what was your strategy? You're coming in from The Bachelor. So I feel like you got a few options here. You could play it kind of dumb. You could play it kind of loosey-goosey, play into the brand, you know, all the stuff. Yeah. But like, what was your thought?
I was just trying not to fall in love with any of the girls in the show.
That was part of your strategy. I'm this good-looking guy here trying to find my wife. Don't mind me. That was part of it. No, jokes.
I came in. I'm just like, I wanted to do Under the Radar. Yeah. I wanted to kind of, again, I've never done a competition-based show like this, so I didn't know what I was walking into. I had confidence that I could pull something off, but I wanted to get my bearings straight, kind of get my feel. And then I feel like when the whole shield block whole move happened to get, you know, Parvati and Dan kind of, you know, targets on them, I felt like I gained a lot of confidence in that moment. And I appreciated that. It kind of like, okay, now I can play with the big dogs. Like I know these people are, I didn't really know how big all the cast was in their fields they came from. These were all stars.
Like
the best of the best.
Yeah.
And so I kind of learned that in the first couple of days, a little bit of intimidation set in. But once I kind of made a move, I'm like, all right, I got confidence. I can play with them.
You can play.
I got vocal. And then I decided, okay, now I've made my move. I got to kind of stay this way. And then like what Trishelle said, once you get loud at that point, it almost becomes your protection. Because if you put so much heat on traitors and you're so vocal, they almost can't murder you that next night because now it's too obvious.
It's too obvious. So that's part of the tactic. Yeah. All right, let's go to this. A lot of people in their workplace look at it as like a game. They're trying to negotiate. They're trying to maneuver against peers to like get the leg up to get promoted. We'll start with you, Trisha. What is one tactic you used in Traders that allowed you to get what you wanted out of a situation? It could be your tone. It could be body language. It could be triangulating. Like what was one tactic you used that really allowed you to get your way? Because both you two were leaders in the pack this show.
Thank you. I have heard that actually. But I think that the ability to adapt and pivot in situations.
Okay.
So like whenever you had to change your game a bit, right? So after I was super vocal with the first banishment, I was like, okay, I'm going to pull back a lot and like kind of fall back into the bushes. And then whenever I had to pivot again and be a little bit more vocal, I did that. It's just you have to continuously change with the game.
So yours was like listen, resilience, adapt. Angle.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Peter, you, one thing you did tactic-wise to get your way in situations when you needed to get your way?
I think my loyalty helped me progress in the game with the Trishelle being one of them, you know, the group of faithfuls that we were really close with. Me kind of being able to demonstrate that loyalty through examples, I think maybe helped me gain confidence from the group even more too, to continue making plays and trying to, if I had an idea, to listen to me and get on board with it. I wish I would have been able to adapt a little bit more like Trishelle was talking about. I struggled with, and maybe it was just because it was impossible to do, but the move where we kind of switched again from, you know, I'm all on Parvati and now I want to go to Phaedra.
Sure.
I understood the reason why we were doing that.
It's a numbers game.
Yeah. But I tried my best, but that was so hard to do a switch like that and adapt in that moment, last minute. Could have done a better job with that. But
Trishelle, what did you mean by that when you said it's a numbers game? Explain that.
Well, I play poker.
Yeah.
sort of like odds. People are like chips in the game, and you got to figure out like who's going to be with you and who's going to be against you, and thinking a couple steps ahead.
Yeah.
Basically, I just knew that there were people that were so tight in the Bravo group that they weren't going to vote against Phaedra. Parvati was sort of by herself. So I look at that opportunity as bring the person who is by themselves in. She's not going to vote us out. Parvati's very aware. She thinks like a gamer. She knew that Phaedra had more people. So she's going to naturally come and side with us. So the only problem was that John and Kevin were really not privy to that and didn't understand where we were going. So you did the right thing. They screwed it up.
The hard part was, though, and I've heard a lot of feedback too, is you don't have that much time to conversate and come up with the game plan.
Yes.
Sure.
It's very limited time. The second producers say, okay, reality's done, you're done. And they'll tell you to stop talking.
We tried.
So you do have to just trust your intuition at times, right? Obviously. Now, what's interesting, guys, back home, pot odds. So the idea behind pot odds, it's game theory. Essentially, the idea that based on the return of your investment, your move will make sense whether you're committed to what's in the overall total pot. So it's thinking through like, where am I at? What's the likelihood of my outcome? And based on what I do, I should put perspective to that. So that could be used and translated in poker, negotiating, and of course, traders, which is incredible.
Poker.
Oh yeah. I know the game. I know the game really well.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. We talked about things that you guys did really well. Learning from what you didn't do well on the show. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20. Peter, what's one thing, one move you would have done differently seeing what you've seen now?
I wouldn't have ostracized a portion of the castle the way that I did. Again, I know that it was just a result of the way that the show went with the schedule and the amount of time we had to talk, but I think that hurt my game, having feelings kind of be hurt. I tried to make up for it later on and extend like an olive branch, but I think that was hard to recover from. Once people feel a certain way, they don't forget that.
Let me ask you this. Why not take the trader's offer? Why'd you decline it? Do you regret doing that?
I don't. And it was for two different reasons. One, I legit didn't want to turn on my team. Like, we had a lot of momentum going, having so much fun. And I thought, listen, I wouldn't have rejected it. No matter what, I wouldn't have rejected it if I didn't think there was still a path to victory by rejecting it. So I ultimately thought there was still a chance that I
could win. That's good.
But also, I didn't think it made sense just because at that point, I'd been so vocal, so loud, putting so much heat, and it was accurate heat on the traders. I thought, okay, the next morning, it's going to be revealed someone got recruited. Who's the obvious choice for the crew?
Yeah.
I would say it was me. So I'm like, there's really no point. There's pros and cons, but there's no point to accept this. They can throw me under the bus the very next day, get all this credibility. Parvati and Phaedra could go sore to the end, and I'd be banished as a traitor. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Done that.
So you still saw a path to victory. And then we'll talk a little bit here soon about you and Phaedra and maybe what she did to get the last laugh, what you could have done differently. But before we do that, Trishelle, what's one thing you would have done differently watching the show back?
Oh, I didn't like the first banishment. I felt like it got a little nasty and I felt like I was behind a herd mentality. And so I didn't.
We all were though at that point.
Yeah. I didn't realize it though at the time because nobody was listening to me. And if you saw the show, nobody listened to me pretty much the entire time. So, but in everyday life, thinking back on it, had I had a longer conversation with Peppermint, we would have been amazing allies on the show too.
Yeah.
You know? So I wish that I would have just had more conversations, worked with her in the beginning.
Yeah. So of all the moves, even when we saw, your last move in the finale, that's the one you would have changed.
That was the one that I regret more on a personal level.
Okay.
I think game wise, I would have trusted CT a little bit more. And actually it worked out in the end. No, I don't regret it. It's
okay.
Fair enough. Won.
You won. Yeah. You won. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like to take tough concepts and bring them down to simple analogies. So when you get in your car, do you put your seatbelt on? I hope so. You know, when you look at your iPhone, or whatever smartphone you use, do you have a protective case? You better. These things cost over $1,000. Well, right now, hackers can make up to $1,000 per person by selling your data. So what you need to know is that if you travel a lot or if you connect to Wi-Fis in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure, whether it's through your phone or your computer. And there's a solution for you. It's called ExpressVPN. It's very simple to use. So here's what I'd recommend. Just take the time. You have a phone case on your phone. You put your seatbelt on when you get in the car. Just go to expressvpn.com/tradingsecrets. It's expressvpn.com/tradingsecrets. And you can get an extra 3 months free. Just go to expressvpn.com/tradingsecret. It doesn't take much technical knowledge for someone to hack in. Literally, they're saying a 12-year-old can do it these days. So protect your information, protect your data. All right, Phaedra, why is it? What about Phaedra? What do you think she did? How did she just scoot by and beat you, Pete?
Trishel was right. Phaedra had so much influence, so much power in that castle. And listen,
what do you think it is about her though? Like, cause I want to translate like even power in the castle to like people at home that are powerless. Like, what is it about her that gave her so much power?
I think she carries herself in such a way, literally, where you look at her and like the first word that comes to my mind is power. She just is so confident. She's so smart, so educated, you know, such an incredible businesswoman. Kept learning about a new business that she had pretty much every single day.
Yeah.
Is very savvy in the reality TV world, is really good in the social game, is so quick-witted. You know, you guys all heard like the one-liners.
Yeah, she's quick.
They just come out over and over and just is a really good social player. I definitely think she made some mistakes strategically I would have done different if I was her, but her social game was so good. That's what carried her for so far.
I want to bring this back to The Bachelor. So you were among studs on your season with Hannah Brown, right?
Yeah.
You got Tyler Cameron, yourself, a bunch of others. Obviously, you ended up being the one they chose, and then you're leading as the lead, as The Bachelor. We saw you as a leader on this show so much that you got called, someone said, I think it was Phaedra that said, this guy could be a cult leader. Okay, now let's go back to The Bachelor.
Funny.
Do you think there is something instinctively that like maybe back home we didn't know about you, that you are a leader? Like when you're on The Bachelorette, you're a leader amongst your peers. That's why you were the lead. That's why you had one of the top rated seasons of all time. Like, is there something about your leadership ability maybe we didn't see in The Bachelor that does hold true that we're seeing now?
I mean, yeah, I take that as a compliment, not the cult leader part, but
the cult part. Leader's good. Drop
for
the
sure,
cult.
No, yeah, I'll take the leader. I've kind of always carried myself in that way. I don't know if it goes back to, you know, I was really interested in going the Air Force route and ROTC in college to be a fighter pilot. And, you know, they instill a lot of great lessons, you know, at an early age there, you know, just in my career, you know, being a captain, that's the greatest honor I've had so far in my career. My first airline I ever flew for, it was the most fun I had. And as a captain, you're responsible for every single person on that flight. Like it all comes down to you and your decision-making. You use everyone. And a great leader, in my opinion, is someone that can make the entire group feel like their opinion is just as valuable as everyone else's.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, comes together to for the success at the end. But I think it just comes from my career and that being ingrained, you know, from an early age, and that just carried over to the show.
Okay.
Can I piggyback?
Of course,
that?
Yeah.
So people were like, especially my friends were like, how did you and Peter become so tight? And I was like, well, obviously my husband is a pilot. They have the exact same experience job. My husband was Air Force. So whenever I met Peter, I was so relieved because I got to like feel like I was a little bit
home.
We vibe right from the very beginning. Yeah. That was the first thing you said to me.
Yeah.
I know. And we were talking, we were laughing about like the pilot lingo that nobody else kind of understood. And we got to talk about that. And his whole family is like that life. I already knew what his life was like because that's the life I'm living, right?
Yeah.
And I also know that my husband is a super honest, trustworthy person who takes care of things, who is so smart. So I just knew, I was like, God, Peter is going to be brilliant in this game. People are going to probably underestimate him. He's going to be shocking. But yeah, so I trusted him immediately. And my husband, the first conversation I had with him, because we got like 10 minutes a week to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
He was like, well, they leaked the cast. He's like, I just hope that you're working with Pilot Pete.
Wow.
And I didn't even,
interesting.
Hadn't even talked to him. He knew that I'd be working.
That you knew. And just, there are some leadership like qualities in certain careers like that.
He
that
actually
translate.
Said Peter and John, those are the two people that he picked.
God, well, your husband knows you, eh? I'll tell you what. Okay, I got some more strategy questions for you, but Pete, I want to end with this one on your end. So, and this one's a little tougher, okay? But you think about on the show, you were a leader and you could tell that you have a ton of loyalty to the people you're leading, okay? Mm-hmm. We've seen that almost to a fault, actually. And then on the Bachelor side, we also saw like you've had three relationships from the Bachelor franchise, been very loyal in each of those, and now you're single, searching again for love.
Yeah.
Do you find, talk to me, and I want this to hit with people back home, people that are loyal, but might be overly loyal, maybe loyal to a fault. Do you at any times in this game or in life feel like you are loyal to a fault? And is there anything you are learning about yourself to do differently because of that, personally, professionally, or in this game?
That's a good question. First part of that, no. I would never say you could be loyal to a fault.
Okay.
And I mean that because if it's the right person, it's never going to be to a fault. You're never going to feel like you're in that position. I truly feel that. And, you know, yeah, obviously in my romantic life, and I'm still looking and trying to, you know, fill that gap, and I'm never going to rush it. But I truly feel like the right person will come along, and that won't ever be part of the discussion, being too loyal to a fault. I think for the biggest thing that I kind of learned from the show and my experience on The Bachelor, and I guess a little bit of it kind of crossed over to The Traitors. And I don't know if this is necessarily all loyalty, but on The Bachelor, I remember just being such a people pleaser. Yeah. And I wanted to give everything to as many people as possible. I looked at it like, okay, I have all these women that are putting their life on hold to come meet me. And that's like a huge honor there. And so I owe it to them to like give them my all.
Yeah.
And like, there's only so much of that though you can do.
Yeah, because you'll drain yourself.
You drain yourself.
Yeah.
And by the end of The Bachelor, it was just emotionally, physically so draining. And I feel going into The Traitors, I definitely remember saying all the time, I'm like, listen, I'm playing this game so different than The Bachelor. Like nothing actually is crossing over because I'm trying to completely remove myself from emotion, right?
Yeah.
This is all strategic. And
just game.
Granted, a little bit of emotion came through, I guess, the loyalty aspect. But I remember, and it kind of came, it almost bit me in the ass a little bit, but like, I wasn't that people pleaser. Like I was, you know, closing doors on
sure.
people, and like I was doing what needed to be done for like the best interests of, you know, my group, myself, like our chance of winning. And that wasn't something I did on The Bachelor that I wish I would have done. And so I saw some growth in that aspect, and I was happy with that.
That's pretty cool. I mean, people pleasers are typically self-sacrificers, right? Self-sacrificers usually can have a lot of issues with getting things done they need to get done because they're so worried about everyone else. So it's fascinating to see what Bachelor taught you that actually translated into this game.
Yeah.
I asked it in this order because Trishelle, I would say that your style is much different than that, right? I think there are a lot of people at home that are people pleasers that struggle. They're so worried about what everybody thinks, especially with social media these days. And I don't want to post. I don't want to do this. I'm so worried. I take you for someone that doesn't give a shit what people think. I could be wrong. Maybe you just do it well, but talk to me about your idea of like how you know when to be like, you're an enemy, you're on my team, and just like you're good at boundaries. That's what I feel like you're good at. Tell us about that.
I have always been a very competitive person. I've played competitive sports my entire life. When I play games, I get super competitive. I can literally fight with friends over Taboo. But, but like, yeah. So for me, whenever I'm in game mode, that's what CT calls it, game mode. I'm just there. Do I care? In my everyday life, I kind of am a people pleaser because I want people to like me. But at one point when I feel like I'm being pushed, then I'm just like, screw it, I don't care. But in this game in particular, I went in there knowing that there were going to be way famous people, like the housewives and everything,
sure.
way more famous than I was. And I was just like, I'm not going to let anyone intimidate me.
Love it.
And people are sometimes uncomfortable with a woman who's super confident, and that's not my problem.
So you don't, in no capacity do you face imposter syndrome whatsoever?
No.
How do you not get fazed by other people like that? What do you do?
Like
that?
In a game situation, I don't. But you know what's weird is that I'll feel like bad about like social media trolls. Strangers. It's so weird.
So poker, face to face, you're with these big people, you're not at all intimidated, but then the trolls can get to you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's also like I kind of the person that when you put me on the spot, I don't get nervous.
Yeah. Interesting.
You have to throw me in the water.
Do you have any tips for that, or you think you're just born with that?
I think I've always been that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, for
sink
some
or swim.
Some people that aren't, take some notes out of Trishelle's, out of her playbook, because that's a great quality. Now, let's talk about this. I love the fact that you guys split the prize pool two ways. I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
You should. Take that bag. Do it. Was that part of the strategy when you guys were down to picking who you wanted to win? Did you think, let's get someone out so we could split this two ways? Or did you really think MJ might have been a traitor?
No, I didn't think that MJ was a traitor. I knew she wasn't. We weren't sure how it was going to go. Like, CT switched the vote on me, like, really last minute.
Yep.
With I wanted Sandra to stay, and he wanted Sandra to be voted out. So I had to be, whenever you're that little of people, you don't want to be the standout vote. So I had to kind of vote with them and switch my game. Like I said earlier, you have to switch a little bit.
Yep.
So I adapted in that sense. CT and I mentioned it with Johnny Bananas that we kind of wanted us three to maybe all, wouldn't it be cool if we all did it for the challenge? Good old days.
Yeah.
It would make the fandom happy, whatever. And we mentioned it, but it wasn't like clear that we were going to do that. It wasn't like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that I voted for him?
Of course.
So I really thought that he was a traitor for a minute.
I didn't know if that was planned when you voted for him. Like that was part of like,
that would be
the
worst plan ever.
Yeah.
Why would I be so strategic this entire time and play notes?
Did you really think MJ was going to vote for him?
Yeah. Because I had a conversation with her right before, and I said, MJ, I trust you 100%, and I don't trust anybody else here 100%.
So then why was she so bitter then?
I am wondering that.
Do you think it was an act?
Been in cahoots.
If you and MJ were on the same page, and you followed through, and she didn't follow through, and if she followed through, you two would have won and split the bag. No. Why is she so upset?
I tried to explain it to her, too.
This seems like 101, though. It seems like...
Like one-on-one off camera, I tried to explain it to her. She just is very upset. I think that her whole thing, she's hung up on the fact that we could have split it three ways. But that's literally not how the game, where it was going. We were presented with what we had, right? And so I thought CT was a traitor. We had already thrown the red pouches. We couldn't redo it.
Yeah.
So like we couldn't be like, just kidding, Alan, like we want to split it three ways. And that's how the game is designed. And the game is called Traitors. And deceit and betrayal is in the tagline. And I'm sorry if you guys are hurt about it, but that's what it is. You know, you're welcome for, you know, giving you good television.
Putting on that show.
Like,
now, was CT at all irritated with you off camera, behind the scenes, that you voted for him originally?
No, we don't get really that butthurt, actually. Okay. Like, I mean, I was upset with him at the fire ceremony.
I feel like gamers don't.
I was going to say, just a pro, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys get it.
He laughed. He was like, he's like, you are just something. And I was like, I am.
So you online, though, have been getting a little pushback.
Tell
me about the pushback and why.
People are just so upset about MJ. They're just like, you guys are greedy. But like the difference whenever you split it three ways was like, what, 70K? That's not going to like make or break anybody's life.
No.
And so for me, it wasn't about that. I threw her a bone. She didn't accept it. And why would I again vote against CT if she already wrote my name down?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, you did it to yourself. Like, that's kind of...
Think about that. It's true, yeah.
Why would I... I mean, she wrote my name down twice.
I don't know if you saw my Sty saga online, but that was real. Now, if you're having any type of issues when it connects to anything health related, you need to see good doctors and you need to see them quick. So here's the answer. It's ZocDoc. You'll go to ZocDoc.com/tradingsecrets and download the ZocDoc app for free. And then this is what you could do. You can book any top rated doctor today. You think about all the work we do with our research. Before I book a restaurant, the amount of reviews I look at, before I get something on Amazon, digging through the ones and five stars. Why are we not doing that for the most important things? And we need doctors these days, from the hair on our head to the toes on our feet. At least I do. No, I'm just kidding. But you can find the best doctors with qualified reviews that are right for you, and you can get what you need in a very quick, short period of time. It's a no-brainer. It's a free app and a website. You can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments. So go to ZocDoc.com/tradingsecrets and download the ZocDoc app for free today. Phaedra said in the reunion that Trishelle had an interesting combo about why she wanted to win the money, and that's why she didn't murder her. What was that reason that you wanted to win the money?
Well, okay. So my husband and I had done fertility stuff, and we went through that whole journey, and that's like super expensive, which we had already paid off, obviously. But then surrogacy is like super expensive.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, we were looking at surrogates during the pandemic, and then that kind of went through. So I just mentioned that.
Oh, that's,
but like it wasn't a set thing.
Sure.
And I don't want anybody asking me when I'm having a baby.
Okay? Gotcha. Like, you guys, she shared, that's enough traitor secrets that she's going to give. So we'll actually take
not
that.
Not one DM about the baby.
I am mad. I am glad though we got to ask about that. I want to ask you though, suppose MJ's is substituted there, okay? And say Peter makes it. So it's Peter.
Peter, are we doing this again?
Yeah, we're doing
it again.
Does that hurt?
I don't even have to finish the question. He's there. What are you doing and why? And what did she say to you that hurt?
Well,
come on, we want the off-camera traitor secrets.
I don't
want
to throw you. I mean, it's not that.
Say it.
No, it wasn't that bad. I was just like, I remember I heard this. I get it. She was her. So CT, Trishelle, MJ were kind of going at it. And then what did MJ say? MJ said something, or Andy then said, well, Trishelle, yeah, would you have turned on
no,
Peter?
No, he
last
didn't
minute?
Say, he did not say it just directed toward me. He said, Peter pals, all of us. Okay. He said, at some point, like, you guys were going to have to you know, vote each other out because you can't take five people to the end. And would you guys have done it?
No, and but specifically said, would you have turned on Peter?
Would you have turned on Peter?
And then Trishel goes, yeah, of course.
I said, it's a game. It's a game. Peter was like,
I remember like hearing it and I processed it a little too late after Andy.
He was
like,
mad about it.
Something else. And I'm like, during a break, I'm like, wait, Trishel, what?
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 So did you think he was a traitor or no?
Never. Okay. I never thought he was.
Okay. So he's in the final three. What are you doing for your vote?
I would have probably voted CT out because I thought that he was.
You did
a traitor
that anyway.
100%.
What would you have done?
Wasn't.
If it was the three of us, obviously I was going to go with Trishel. CT was just someone. I say like he was like what you asked the questions early in the game, like the most powerful or like strategic. He was
he
just
did
someone.
He did weird moves though.
He
even
did
for
weird
me.
Moves that he just always threw me off, and I went back and forth with him so many times that I wouldn't have been comfortable ending the game with him. Mm. Trishel, I would have gone to the very end. Anyone, you know, in the Peter Palace, I would have gone to the end for. But
okay, last question.
I was not going to vote Peter out.
You were not going to vote Peter out.
You sure?
All right.
Sure about that?
I don't know. A lot of back and forth here. You know, we're not playing the game here, Trishel. This is real life here. All right, Peter. Let me ask you this last question about game theory.
Yeah.
Is there anything you think you could have done now, seeing it all back, to get MJ and Sandra to believe you?
No. I mean, we had a lot of these conversations at the reunion, and Sandra was very, very honest. Sandra and I, like, we talked a lot. Sandra knew that I was a faithful and still voted me out, and she was doing that. I can't blame her because she's trying to win. Everyone's trying to win the game. She was going under the strategy of playing, she called it her traitor angel. And so she wanted Phaedra to truly think that, which is what I was doing with Parvi. I guess a lot of us were doing the same strategy. Maybe I was just the most vocal.
Right.
But Sandra was trying to convince Phaedra that she really thought she was a faithful and just using that protection to make it to the end. So she told me she knew that I was a faithful. And, you know, obviously that hurts. It stings to know. But
yeah.
So there's nothing
interesting. There's nothing you could have done. All right.
I want to say that feel a little bit like the other side of the house. We're gaslighting us a little bit. Number one, they called themselves the leftovers. We were the leftovers. No one in our group was from the same show. That's they true. Had a solid group. They were the Bravo people. We were the leftovers. So that's number one.
That's
number
true.
Two, sorry, I'm going off. I had a
Go
couple
off.
Steps of
Pop off.
Surge.
Pop off, Trishel.
Number two, they basically had the same strategy, or Sandra did, that Peter did, as far as the traitor angel thing and the numbers game, but they were blaming us for it. I'm like, no, you guys had the same strategy. She showed it with the ball, with the pool balls.
Yeah. Well,
everyone was doing really the same thing.
Well, I was going to say, the devil's advocate, right? In the life of real world, gaslighting is like a terrible form of manipulation. In game world, it's fucking brilliant, right? Like, for them
that's
to
true.
Gaslight you was part of their game.
That's
like,
true.
If they actually were using their name Leftovers as a means to like gaslight you, like,
hey,
they crushed it.
Yeah.
Right?
Them. What I think though would help with that, just my two cents for the game, because I think this show is going to be uber successful for many years to come.
Yeah.
It's just they hit gold with this. Only suggestions I would have is randomize the picks for traders in the beginning. So there's no
one have
a target on their
that's
back.
It's a good idea.
It's a computer algorithm that picks however many and not allow so many recruitments. Just to then now that takes rid of the problem of people playing with these trader angels and playing the game that way. No, have maybe five traders at the beginning and just go as long as the game takes to get rid of them. But if you know that someone's always going to get recruited when you get, you know, down to a certain amount of traders, people are going to play this trader angel game.
Of course.
And that could possibly hurt the competition of it.
Yeah.
So
I was going to ask you if you thought there was any inefficiencies or flaws within the actual game. I think that's your answer. How about for you?
Also, and I think because you're I think a similar thinker as I am, and I was thinking in the mind of a producer from the beginning. So I was like, if I were a producer, who would I choose to be a traitor?
Of course.
Dan.
Yeah.
Phaedra. Like, I mean, these are like, just, it was kind of obvious.
Yeah,
it was
you have
too
to.
Obvious.
Right.
Like,
that's a
I
really
see
good. That's an inefficiency.
Fergie, you know, like, because I'm watching the UK season two, and they have like a 22-year-old guy there, and I'm in the beginning of it, but he's killing it. Fergie, nobody would ever have suspected him.
Yeah. So it plays into both ways. Like, the people you suspect, it's like obvious, and
it helps
you
them.
Don't. Yeah.
But if Bananas goes back and they don't do that, I honestly could see Bananas getting murdered every single first night.
I see that too. I see that too. Yep, you're right. All right, let me ask you about this. This is just some misconceptions people want to know. Do traders actually meet in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys actually sleep in the mansion?
We slept great in Scotland. I'll say that.
We can't say.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that?
No.
Okay, so you didn't. Okay, one thing then.
Say that.
Alan Cummings in real life, legend?
Yeah.
Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
Alan, I had so much respect for him because the entire experience of filming it, he never broke character once.
Okay.
He was what you see on screen the entire time, and like method acting brought you into that environment. We got to hang out with him once with press in New York at his club, Club Coming, and it was the first time I got to actually talk to him, and he was not in
character. That's pretty impressive.
And I'm like, dude, that's so cool. You just didn't break character at all, and it really made us feel like, you know, yeah, we're really in this game and playing with this, you know.
That's pretty cool. Okay, I like that. What is one thing that you wish aired that didn't? Let's go with you first, Peter.
I thought it would have, I tried to extend the olive branch a lot, so everyone except Phaedra at the end there, I told that I had received the recruitment letter for to try to like gain some trust with them. They never aired that. People were like, why didn't you tell people that you got recruited? I did, but I guess just with editing, it didn't make it in.
Okay, Trishelle?
I wish that they showed more of like why I voted for CT and everything, because people were very confused, I think, by the last episode. And I did an entire interview after that. I don't know if like the camera was turned off accidentally and why they didn't show it, but people were like, what happened? So I wish that they showed that. Also, I had like a couple great moments with Deontay that were in the car where we were both like crying, and he's such a great guy. Yeah, like,
he's a good dude.
Yeah, I wanted more of him in the reunion.
I know.
I wish they would have made him speak more because I like hearing from him.
He's so smart.
Yeah.
He's so awesome. So I wish they showed that too.
Okay, that's good. Peter, my book, Talk Money to Me. It's about love and money. Have to ask. We saw Ekin Sue with your mom, Barb. Love Barb. Shout out, Barb. You're a freaking beauty. Actually, you are like now a legend in reality
she
TV.
She is a legend. Love
you are
Barb.
A reality TV legend, Barb.
We're going to have her on here.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yes.
Peter, you've been on, of anybody that's been on the show, you've been on the most. Next time, it's going to be Peter and Barb, and that is going to be absolutely electric.
Let's do it.
But Ekin Sue, we see that you're friends. You said you're just friends, but there's also these rumors like maybe you and Barb had a little thing going on. Like, is there any type of love going on in any capacity, any dates going on?
No.
None?
No.
At all?
I'll be honest. Yeah. Again, beautiful friendships that came from the show. Ekin Sue and I, we really are very, very similar. We got along super well. It was like one of the, you know, friendships that I have with Trishelle. I know a lot of people like to talk and everything, but she's, you know, doing Big Brother now in London.
Okay.
And, yeah.
If Ekin Sue or Parv asked you on a date, would you go?
Okay, first off, Parvati's
are these like
very...
written in questions? Are these your questions?
No, these are my questions.
Parvati's in a very like great relationship.
Twisted brain,
and all that.
I'm telling you. Parv's in a relationship?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, did not know that. Whoops.
She's with someone.
Yeah. See, that's how you know I asked.
But wait, I will say that while my friends and I were watching that episode that you're talking to Parvati, my girlfriends were like, pause it. They're like, I feel a certain way right now. Are they about to make out? I was like, no, he's just putting on the charm because he knows he needs her in her corner.
Yes, all part of the show.
She was just as manipulative though. In that, like, that's why she was my answer. She was, and they didn't show, she like full on did this thing where she put her hands up to the camera, all the tears, and it literally, guys, it brought me right back to the Bachelor. I'm like, she got me this close to believing her.
Wow.
And then I was like, no, I can't.
You almost got a full, like a full reversal there, back to
Parv
that
for
world.
Bachelorette, but she's in a relationship.
Okay, all right. Sorry for disrupting that, Parv. I hope you're happy. Okay, what future shows do we think we'll see both you two on? 2021 was the last time you were on. 2019, you now both have some crazy momentum. What future shows do you think we'll see you on, or do you want to be on? Start with you, Trishelle.
Oh, me. I was going to say Peter go first. I am a huge Big Brother fan. Okay. I would love to do Big Brother. Anything that I can do that's like strategic. I wouldn't like love to be like on an island somewhere or anything like Survivor. Like, I don't think I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Pete?
I think top three that come to mind, I think Special Forces would be awesome.
Mm.
Push you want to do that? Oof.
Absolutely. Love that. Like, just, I think pushing yourself to be like uncomfortable is such a great opportunity just for growth and just fun as hell. Dancing with the Stars, I've wanted to do that for years, but we'll see. And then Survivor. I think that's really cool.
Put it out there. Yeah. All right, Pete. I'm lobbing you with a softball here. Me included. You could say my name.
Okay.
Three people from the Bachelor franchise that would be good on Traitors.
Oh.
And you could say my name.
Jason Tardik is my number one pick. Jason Tardik, if I said that.
I'm not thirsty for shit, but I'm thirsty for this show. Okay, keep going.
I think, and you would kill it either as a faithful or a traitor. I truly think you could.
I would honestly love to be a traitor.
And the fact that you're cool with it, I'm going to say Caitlyn too, just because the dynamic of bringing two exes on, there's just so much potential for that.
Something else.
And then Chris Harrison. I think it'd be cool to see him in that light as a contestant.
You think he'd do it?
Oh.
I mean, never say never, but
that would be fun to watch.
Super interesting to see a host go and play as a contestant.
I'm on board with that. Okay, that's
good. I think Hannah Brown would be good.
Hannah Brown, I think Hannah Brown's good at anything she does.
Yeah.
I'm like fully convinced.
She's a baddie.
She's a baddie. Yeah. Whatever. She writes books, they're New York Times bestsellers. She goes to the Special Forces, she wins. Dancing with the Stars, she wins. Bachelorette, she wins. She's just a winner.
Also, I think an actual couple that is together, Justin and Susie. That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
Kind of like the Larsa Marcus thing.
I like that.
So much potential with
that. Yeah, there's something there. From all the reality shows you've come across, all the big dogs, who do you think should be on the show that hasn't been on the show yet?
I think that Omarosa would do really well on the show. I just like to see her on television. She's very intimidating. I think from The Challenge, Anissa would be awesome. Bestelarchik, she's like from way back in the day, but she has a very villainous personality that I love to see on television. Oh. Yeah, Housewives one. Johnny Fairplay would be good too. He did Survivor, lied about his grandmother dying. Love that. I just like a villain character.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, Money Mafia, we stayed a lot in the strategy branding realm today, not too much into the dollars and cents, but we'll let you guys get away with this one. I won't make you sweat on the dollars and cents. It was a great episode filled with so much, but we got to end with a trading secret. Peter, you've done it before. You're here again. A trading secret, something you can't find in a textbook. You can't learn on a YouTube tutorial or TikTok, only from you and your experience flying planes, going on dates, being the bachelor, and now a trader superstar. What can you leave us with, Pilot Pete?
I guess I'll say, and it's kind of been a theme, you know, of just today in the podcast, is be a yes man and a yes woman. That's what I've done for the last, you know, I guess I've done that my entire life, but the last couple of years, it's opened up so many doors and insane opportunities that I never in a million years would have thought I would have had, you know, everything from the bachelor to traders and everything in between. So say yes to being uncomfortable. Say yes to pushing yourself. Like, don't always take the easy way, you know, do something that's totally out of your comfort zone. And I think there's so much opportunity for growth and for love and just creating insane memories and relationships to be made. Just say yes a hell of a lot more than you think you might have to.
Yeah, and I could say just as a good friend of yours, like, I think you are the definition of, like, always just like, all right, you're not going to ask questions. You're not going to put up guards. If I'm like, hey, let's go do this. You're like, all right, let's go. Like, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's go. And I could also speak for the agency that we own and Evan working with you all the time. He gets so many calls just saying, like, we want Peter because he's so easy to work with. Like, he's down, he's easy, he wants to do it, let's go. And that's a huge testament to what you're doing, how you're doing it. And I think this is a huge jumping point for you. I am a predictor that you are going to be on a minimum of 5 more shows in the next 5 years without
a doubt.
That's my guess. 5 shows, 5 years, we'll come back. You and Barb will talk all about it.
Here we go.
Michelle, trading secret, what can you leave us with?
Okay. I say, if you find yourself in the position where you were underestimated, use it to your advantage. Ooh. I have used that in this game. I use it in poker. And I feel like it's a bigger strength than people realize. And so I will continue to use that. Please underestimate me. Don't listen to me. I'll use it to fuel my fire.
You know who else had a trading secret like that?
Who?
You would least expect it. Rob Gronkowski.
No. Really?
Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, well, here's what he said. He goes, everyone thinks I'm this like big dummy. I'm always partying. He's like, most of the time, anytime you see me and I look drunk, I'm 100% sober. And he goes, a lot of the time that my coaches would think this and that, I'd be 8 steps ahead. So part of my plan was act dumb. They expect little. And I'm 10 steps ahead of all of them. And the one thing I could tell you about him that actually speaks to that, and I said it in the podcast, was in high school, he was in AP in every single class.
Me too.
He was extreme, right? So there you go. Me extremely too. Smart. So maybe the cover, you wouldn't expect high achieving 4.0 AP student, maybe the same, but the people that didn't expect it was a way for you to supersede their expectations.
Yeah. It almost takes the pressure off too.
100%.
I don't need to like talk about what grades I got. Yeah. Inorganic chemistry.
Orgo puts people literally on death watch, and there you are. All right, guys, this was an unbelievable episode of Trading Secrets. Peter, if people are listening, they want to see more of you, where can they find you?
I am Pilot Pete on Instagram. That's my go-to.
Do you use any other social media platforms?
I guess I do TikTok too.
Okay.
Not as active, but mainly Instagram.
There you go. Love it. We'll get that TikTok game going. Yep. Trishelle, where can people find you?
At Trishelle C on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I'm literally about to get off because people are terrible. So don't tweet me.
Okay.
Unless you have something very kind to say.
Don't tweet. Go follow on Instagram for all the stuff. We have 2 trader superstars. This was an episode you can't afford to miss. Thank you guys for being with me.
All right, my man.
Thank you so much.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing in the bell with the one and only, the Curious Canadian, and let's go, baby. The book tour has started, David. Seattle this week. From Seattle, we are going to Denver and then to Austin. It is a busy week. If you guys have not purchased a copy of Talk Money to Me, please do so. In 2020, you must be making 80% more than 2020 if you are a first-time home buyer to be able to afford a home. The numbers out there are alarming. Your inflows, your outflows, knowing how to manage your debt, knowing how to make money on your money has never been more critical. There are some savings accounts right now paying 8%. If you are not taking advantage of this, if you are not making money on your money, paying down your bad debt, and knowing this stuff between you and your partner, you're putting yourself at jeopardy. This book is for singles and people that are in relationships. Go to Amazon, grab a copy, and I can't tell you how much I would appreciate it. But enough of that. Let's get into the recap. We had Love is Blind in the intro. We got Traitors slash Bachelor slash Challenge in the main episode, and we got the Curious Canadian in the recap. David, what are we thinking?
Well, I'm just glad I got 5 minutes of your time here. I mean, this guy's on a book tour. This guy's on Wall Street. He's ringing in the bell. He's at Forbes. He's on the Today. This guy, he's as busy as it gets. Jay, it's great to have you in the seat. It's great to see you busy. And let me tell you, you mentioned Traitors. You know I'm a Love Island guy. The Bachelors, the finale's just on the precipice. Are we in the maybe second coming of reality TV prime right now, Jay?
I think we are. Like, if you look at the business model, I'm not really sure what the hell happened. It's like we were in the pandemic. Bachelor was getting toasted. Love is Blind took off. Post-pandemic, we all went haywire, traveling, going crazy. And reality TV was a disaster. All Love is Blind got killed. Bachelor got killed. Almost every show was getting destroyed for unscripted. We were even having conversations like, is the business of reality TV dead? And now it has taken a turn in so many directions. And David, when I talk about rewired talent management, we're managing Jess from Love is Blind, right? And we're managing some other people from these shows. And we see the numbers. Their numbers are off the charts. So I think we've seen a turn. And even with Traitors, dude, you heard me say it in the episode. 8 million people streamed this finale. 8 million people, dude. That's 1/10 of the Super Bowl, like 1/15 of the Super Bowl. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, and you mentioned a 75% season over season, which is one of the biggest jumps in a TV show on streaming history, which is incredible. And here's the thing. I'm going to focus mostly on Traitors. Obviously, I watch Love is Blind. Obviously, I watch Traitors. Obviously, I'm the resident reality TV guy here. But here's what was interesting about Traitors, and I can't wait to get your take on this, is I think Traitors captivates. They do such a good job of captivating the Big Brother audience, the Survivor audience, the Bachelor audience, the Housewives audience, every, you know, the MTV, the Challenge audience with Trishelle and CT. But people see them on their shows, and for the most part, other than the game players, a completely different element that they would see them on their shows, right? The Housewives, they really are centered around drama, and Bachelor's about love, and Love Island's about love, and all those, you know, areas. So I thought that being able to see them in their element in a game strategy show where the purpose of what we're normally seeing them is completely different was really interesting. Now, my question to you is, as a guy who maybe doesn't look at reality TV the same way as a consumer does like me for the pure storylines of what the show's made for, does this show really just excite you? Do you see this show as a kind of a microcosm as you see all reality TV show from the business side? What really gets, like, you know, you excited about the Traitors as you watch?
I think the thing that gets me most excited about this show is I think it's one of the purest form of shows out there for reality TV. And here's why. Every other show has their networks. There's obligations and loyalties within their networks. We saw in Love is Blind, for God's sakes, they were afraid to say Blake's name when he was on the Love is Blind finale with Giannina. Why? Because they don't want anybody from an ABC network getting attention on the Netflix network, right? They, of course, would never say Bachelor Nation on Love is Blind, right? So they're, and rightfully so, I do the same thing. So there are these networks that have to keep their talent within their networks. And you see it with Bravo, you see it with ABC, you see it with MTV, see it with all of them. And then here and there, once in a blue moon, you get a little sprinkle of like one show of one person that comes on where they take the shot. And you're like, that's cool. What I love about this show is that you are seeing every single network from all different people, some of the most popular and some of the people that haven't been around for 10 years, come into the circle and play one another without loyalty to their network. And they don't have these alliances other than maybe one or two people. And then you're seeing them in a setting where you're getting the purest form of them. You're not getting them angling for someone because they're trying to, you know, like suck up to the network, or they're trying to fall in love for the right reasons. You're seeing people in their purest form just try to win with networks that might not be connected to their success. And that's why I like totally love it. And I think what's cool is, like, my brother, right? He's 36, married, gay. The shows he watch are so, like, our interest when it comes to TV couldn't be different. And what I've noticed about this show, my mom and dad are watching it. My friends are watching it. Bachelor Nation's watching it. My brother and all his friends are watching it. So you're also bringing different viewing audiences together in one to get all these different perspectives. And I just love that. I love that. I feed off.
And I loved how all these people, like you mentioned, who are coming to watch the show are seeing their characters that they've loved in such a different light. Like, you know, Ashley and I watch reality TV all the time. To be able to see Bergie, like, with confidence, like, you know, scheming, and you see Peter get so excited about, like, you know, building an alliance, like he's on Survivor or something. And you see the housewives, like, yeah, they're dramatic, but, you know, Phaedra, like, who came out looking more, you know, of a well-rounded super person than Phaedra on the show? Like P mentioned, he said, I think every day I learned about a new business that Phaedra is running. Shout out Phaedra. I think someone, Jay, I think we need to get on the podcast. So, you know, you said, Jay, you said, I'm not thirsty for anything. I'm thirsty to get on the show. And I got to ask you, in hearing that, is it because it's just like a fantasy, like a childhood, like I want to be on the show? Or is do you have, I want to be on the show because I know what it's doing for people that have been on it, clients like Pete, people like Pete? Is it a pure business angle because it's hot in the streets right now?
You know, it's a good question, because one thing I meant to ask them is, if you look at Trishelle, her following, I think, grew, I don't know, like 10,000. Peter's too, right? Like, so we manage Peter, we work with Peter. His following grew a little bit, but not really much. So it's not like these 8 million viewers actually translates to following and engagement. And we know that following and engagement translates to dollars. So for me, this wouldn't be a money play. I think when I think about reality TV, I think I've really done a good job from my business perspective of bridging the gap between pop culture and finance while still staying in both a little bit, and building a niche. And the challenge with that becomes is, if I go into any form of reality TV, I'm taking a pretty high risk in doing that. But I feel like a show like this kind of does a lot. It allows me to broaden the network of people I get to meet from different shows, which is good for the podcast, good for the agency, good for just my interest in this space. Additionally, it allows me to compete in a different level that allows me to be a form of myself that that reality TV has never seen. And then I also think this is more aligned with, like, the things I'm doing every day. I can kind of connect the dots. Like, when I'm strategizing to how to grow a business, how to scale a business, how to, you know, work with a client, how to fire a client, how to fire someone, how to take a different market space. Like, that's what you do every day in business. And to translate it to reality TV would be so much fun. And so I just think it would be a really, really fun show. It's clearly not, you know, you're not going to get rich off this show. I don't think you're going to get massively famous off this show. You're not going to go meet a loved one on this show. But there's something about it that really, really intrigues me.
I think the lack of growth and following is because the show doesn't focus on a storyline to really make you want to follow their journey after the show. Like Bachelor, people fall in love with their love story and they want to see who they're going to fall in love with if they don't get picked or if they do get picked. You know, I think that people fall in love with those things, and that's why their followings grow. But I got to ask you, you've thrown out a couple shows that you may be interested on. So I'm going to put you in the hot seat right now, a quick little rapid fire. Let's say you get the opportunity. It's all equal across the board. The money, the contracts, the filming, the timeline. It's Traitors season 3, it's Special Forces, or it's The Bachelor. What are you choosing?
Oh, man. Wow, that's a good question.
I hope we don't edit out the silence here, because JT. I got JT. He's not one for silence. Even if he doesn't know,
I'm throwing a curveball. I'm just going to give you my top show of those three. Special Forces. Crazy.
Wow, I know it would be really?
The
hardest.
I know it would be the one that I have the least confidence in. I know it might break me, but I also know filming's only like 10 days. And it's like, it would be, I think that would be the hardest challenge in my life. And I think I would learn something about myself I never learned while making a couple bucks and testing myself. And I'll be honest with you, if I won Special Forces, I always joke around like with Tyler. I'm like, oh, I'd kill it. I don't know if I'd break or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I would. Look, I think as your friend, I would love to see you on all three. And you mentioned filming being 10 days for Special Forces. One fact I learned about Trading Secret about this, that filming was 4 weeks. I couldn't believe that with the cast and all the areas that they're from to be able to take, you know, up to 4 weeks to film. And the way that they edited the show, it seemed like it was banishment in the evening, murder overnight, walk into the room for breakfast, find out who murdered, do a challenge, repeat. It did seem like the show was filmed in less than 2 weeks. So shout out to that. Before I get to my next question, did you learn anything like that about the show that was different for you? Or
yeah, I mean, so David, as you were talking about this, it's getting my wheels spinning when you asked me the reality TV question. So the filming thing too, it's interesting that you were surprised it was only 4 weeks. And I was like, damn, how did they do that in only 4 weeks? So it's always interesting to see that. But you really got my wheels spinning on the conversation in this recap, because yeah, we talked some numbers in this episode, but we talked a lot about like what you said. Like, we see reality stars, especially on their first show, and we see their personality. And in a show like this, you get to see them in their purest form, because there's still so much speculation that people on their first reality show are using business and strategy to get ahead on camera and off. And now you have my wheels moving in so many directions, which is so cool about this podcast. But this past week, we went to go see Ariana Maddox at perform at Chicago. Okay. So you have a reality star here that got broken up with, that can play a role like that cool, now being a headliner in a Broadway play. Got drinks with my brother after, because he works on that show from a marketing standpoint. And he said that she is breaking every single box office record in Chicago. This isn't some throwaway off Broadway show. This isn't some donkey off Broadway. You're talking about one of the most legendary shows that has been around for decades. And you have Ariana Maddox get in there and absolutely crush it. And I went to the show, and I would be the first person, David, like, you know, I've seen Broadway for a lot because of my brother, you know, I've always been into it. I would be the first person that would come on here and just shred her. No, her fucking acting, her ability to take a role that's been done by so many others and make it hers, her performance, her stage presence, her energy, her dancing, it was incredible. And I started talking to my brother, and he said, this is happening a lot. You're starting to see now creators and unscripted TV stars who were once like, you know, a joke, you know, like I think Chris Harrison called it. He felt like he was pawn scum back in the 2000s. They're now taking over. I also met with an agency in New York, and they said creators and reality TV stars, you're going to be seeing them take over billboards for celebrities now, because they're saying that the engagement rates, the KPIs of reality stars is so much greater than these big A-list celebrities online. This is an interesting thing that we're discussing. The business changing, the people that are looking up to, and at the end of the day, like, who's selling tickets, who's moving ratings, how and why. And it's moving in a big way. And it's just interesting. It's an interesting topic to discuss on Trading Secrets.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it is. That's why we talk about it right here, baby. You got my head spinning too. And a question that you asked them was, who are three people that you think would be good at traders? I have to get your take on this, because you didn't get to answer that question. Do you have three people, let's say from Bachelor Nation, that you think would be good on traders, or to get your two cents in there, or just three random people that, you know, in this space of what we covered that you think would be good on there?
Yeah, I'm going to make a comment here. And I mean this comment.
Okay.
I think that the people that are able to build a brand and monetize successfully, whether you listen to this and you hate these people, or you listen to this and you love these people, they have some type of gameplay. They have some type of entrepreneurship strategy that has gotten to them where they are. And those are the people that I think on a show like this, whether they will admit it or not, whether you think their personalities fit or not, deep down, they have that. And it's a testament to them. Think about the people and the names from Bachelor Nation that have done very well over the last decade. decade in this space. Every single one of them, I think, would be good on this show. So, David, I'm going to put you in the hot seat. Give me a few names. Rattle them off. From last 10 years, people from Bachelor Nation you still see out in the spotlight. And I'll say yes or no if they'd be good for traders.
Nick Viall.
Yes.
Tyler Cameron.
Yes.
And here's my one, my dark horse that I would love to see on. Jordan Kimball.
Jordan Kimball would be great TV. I don't think he would make it far. But if you look at, I'm connecting everything I just said. I think if you put JoJo on there, she would crush it. I think if you put Rachel Lindsay on there, she would absolutely crush it. Nick Viall would absolutely tear it up. Hannah Brown would demo it. Absolutely crush it. Caitlin Bristow would absolutely crush it. Like, there are people that have built their brands outside of Bachelor Nation, and those who have done it successfully. Here's a curveball for you. Becca Tilly, people would be like, I don't think so. She would crush it. Ashley I would crush it. Ben Higgins, I don't know. I'd like to see that. Maybe not, but I'd like to see it. When I said about Hannah Brown, I mean it. Like, these people that come off these shows and they absolutely find ways to win in everything they do, there's a reason why, everybody. Like, Hannah Brown's just a winner. She's a winner. She would go on Traders and win or come in second. That's who she is. That's what she does. And that is why people from Bachelor Nation that go on other shows absolutely crush those shows in and out. And then what do they do, David? Everyone from Bachelor Nation, for the most part, not everyone, a good percentage in the last 5 years that go on these other shows, that get these other opportunities, it's a launch pad for something else career-wise, right? Day in and day out, it happens.
100%. 100%. Well, I would love to see Dave Portnoy on that show. I think when you talk about, like, power influence manipulators, I think he'd be electric. You know who else I'd love to see on the show? Any of the sharks that we've had on the podcast. In fact, if you gave me a... Traders Island with just Trading Secrets podcast guests, I think that would be the most electric thing in the history of the world. Traders, guys, if you haven't watched it, it is a must watch. I have not said must watch on many things before. It is a must watch. It'll captivate your brain. It'll get you thinking. It'll get you to understand a lot of these different people that we're talking about, these different reality TV spheres. 10 out of 10 show. I completely subscribe with Jay being on it. As your friend, I do not subscribe with you being on it with your ex. That is my 2 cents on the recap from the Curious Canadian, and I will sign off with that.
And let's say the Curious Canadian knows a whole lot of things that haven't been talked about, so there's some depth to that conversation. That being said, we will let it go. David, great episode. And for everyone listening, keep an eye out on the Trading Secrets YouTube, on the Trading Secrets Instagram, and then on my page, because we, in April, are bringing Trading Secrets live. Who the guests will be and the locations are TBD. But I think if I make it, if I'm breathing by May 5th, then I maybe haven't done it effectively, because I am running on fumes. But the next 8 weeks, it's all about the money mafia. It's all about the people out there. And as many places I can get to meet everybody, I will be there. So more to come there. Can't wait to see everyone on the book tour. There will be surprises along the way. Thank you for listening to another episode of Trading Secrets. And please, for $26.99, you have no idea how big of an impact it can make on your life if you are single or you're in a relationship. And I always say, worst case scenario, that cover is beautiful. It will look good on a coffee table. We will see you next week. We have some incredible guests lined up. So just get ready for another episode of Trading Secrets. Wait a second, actually. There is someone, David, in our reviews, and I'm getting a little sick and tired of this person.
Uh-oh.
I want to get to know this person. This person, okay, week in and week out, gives us a review, and it's Susie. Danny X Stream. And every single time she gives a review, it's a 1 to 4 star. And every single time in the review, she gives me shit about not connecting with her audience because she reaches out and I don't respond. Well, listen, it is very hard. I try to get to DMs. I feel blessed and fortunate, but there are a lot that come in. And when I see them, I do my best. So what I would say, Danny X Extreme, I want you to email me media@jasontardik.com. I have 4 people monitoring that email box, and I want you to put the subject Danny extreme. And I want you to tell me everything you want to know and share with me with your feedback. I will listen to it and I will respond to it. And when I do, give me a 5-star rating, because you always say that I don't connect with my audience. So I am here to connect with you specifically, Danny Extreme. And if you are listening to this, please give us 5 stars and give us a review. I promise we're reading them. Can't wait to see you guys next week. Can't wait to see you live. Hopefully I'll see you at the book tour. And thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets. One you can't afford to miss. Peter, Trishel, hopefully Barb, you're coming on the show soon. We will have another episode here shortly.